the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Who taught you how to be a functional adult, and how? Some of you have lots of work to do. Join the Wacky Witches as they ruminate on the topic of life skills and how to acquire them. And now, Shelly, Lisa, and Daryl.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another great, wacky, wonderful Wednesday.
How do you know?
That's a lot of wacky.
I don't know. Well, I was trying to do it all W's, and then I said great, and I messed it up from the get-go.
Yeah. Groovy.
Oopsie. Today, we are talking about that's life.
Yeah?
Yeah, life skills and different things.
Who's talking about this stuff today?
Oh, hi. It's us, Good Witch, Bad Witch. This is our podcast. It is the Good Witch, Shelley Majors.
Heidily ho.
And then the Man Witch, who's Daryl Brown.
How you doing?
And I am your Bad Witch, Lisa Brown.
Yes, there we go.
So now we can say we are talking about life skills and things we've learned and didn't learn and wish we would have learned and all that. But before we get to that, we want to talk about the things that we've done in the last couple weeks. We haven't recorded in a little bit. We had a rerun last week. So what have you guys been up to? What's up?
Goodness. I'm going to start because we need to lead into...
Yeah.
It was you guys' anniversary. And that was really, really great. So I'll do my little piddly things. We went to Evergreen. We went and spent some time there, which was lovely. They don't do fireworks up there, obviously, because of wildfires and stuff. So we took Linus up there on the 4th, and it was nice and quiet, and it was great. Mm. We went the day after... Well, okay, the night before we went to Evans Greeley to go see his mom, and his 5-year-old niece was there, and his mom, the little girl's mom, which is Brian's sister, had bought a whole bunch of little kid fireworks. So we got to do the snappy things on the sidewalk.
Nice.
And sparklers are so much better now, you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're like long, like 2 feet long, and you can wiggle them around at each other, and it's not over so quickly. The whole thing sound. I'm really just talking about fireworks.
Wiggle it around each other.
But they and it does last longer. But they have different colors, and the fountains were great, and it was really fun. I don't remember the last time that we blew up stuff just in front of the house, which was lovely. So that was really, really cool. But the next day, we always, when we're up there, like the last time we went with Amanda Reed and had breakfast with her, and we asked her what she was doing, and she was going to Brighton. So we're like, okay, well, we need a food field trip while we're way up north in northern Colorado. And so we drove all the way over to Loveland because they had a Runza store there. Have you guys ever had Runzas?
I don't even know what that is.
It's very Nebraska, but it's like, do you remember on the Roseanne show when they worked at the lunchbox and it was kind of like hot beef sandwiches or whatever?
Yeah.
So they're kind of like soft rolls stuffed with either like chipped beef and let's say sauerkraut and or mushrooms or Swiss cheese or whatever. So kind of like pierogies, but soft sandwichy bread. Mm. And they had different kinds. They had barbecue one and pizza one, whatever. Well, anyway, Brian was real hungry, and we thought that because we were going to Evergreen that night, we were going to see a bunch of people. So he bought a big old bag of Runzas, like he spent a hundo on Runzas.
Oh, goodness. Say that 10 times.
Hundo on Runzas. And they were so good. I ate Runzas till they were coming out of my ears.
I had the Runzas.
So good. But I did want to tell you before you tell us about your awesome anniversary time. So I went to Plasma yesterday. And when you guys have heard the whole deal about it, but when I was with the people, it was totally busy. I was the sixth person or something. I finally get to the front of the line to get my vitals done, and it was Sarah, our favorite.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wearing those 80s cassette rainbow tape earrings that you had made me. She's like, I love your earrings. I'm like, I know, they're great, right? And I said, another girl that comes here is my best friend, and she made them for me. And she goes, oh, Lisa, she always wears bat earrings. She totally knows who you are.
I have made a Plasma impression.
You did. She knew your name, what you wear, all the things.
We should tell her that we've talked about her a couple times on the show.
We should.
I'm going to bring her some earrings. Yeah.
We should. Yeah. She's really great. But so very low-key. I was out of town, quote unquote, every day that we were on break. It seemed like I laid my head at home twice, but out of town is generally 30 minutes away.
Right.
So,
right.
No biggie. But it was really fun, and I had a great 4th. But you guys just celebrated your 26th anniversary on the 4th?
Yeah, and it was uneventful. So let's go to something else.
Okay.
No, just kidding. No, we went to...
I love him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we went to Paul's
sister's
Brenda's. It was a barbecue. It was really, really fun. And yeah, that was about.
Is that Brenda, our new Patreon member?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Hubba hubba! Thanks, yeah. Brenda.
Woo woo!
Yeah. No, I had a great time. I was gonna say we kind of celebrated our anniversary a little bit a few days earlier because we went up to Frisco. Shelley invited us up to Frisco, which was great. So we got to go up there and we did a little boat trip and got to go around Lake Dillon. I've never done that before, and we've gone to Dillon for 30 some years, but.
Yeah, thank you to Mark and Sandra for that experience. That was amazing.
It was life-changing. They're really, really pretty.
Yeah, so we got to do that. But we did have one night in Frisco alone, so I made it a plan. I go, we're going to have an anniversary dinner up here, but I'm going to make it. So I went to the store, and I've been craving crab, so got us a couple pounds of crab and a nice ribeye. They had a barbecuer out there, so we barbecued up a ribeye and had that, and just had a nice evening, and it was beautiful up there, and the sunset was incredible.
They were crab legs, not crab in a can.
Crab legs, yes. And luckily enough, they marked it wrong, and they only charged us for 1 pound of those crab legs.
So
bonus legs in there.
Legs for days.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that sounds so nice. I saw your sunset pictures. It looked really pretty up there.
Yeah, thanks to Shelley also for the house that we stayed in.
Yeah.
Was amazing, and it was just really nice to have that friend time and kind of a little
it was a getaway.
Pre-anniversary little hangout. Yeah, that was cool. But I think one of the most exciting things that happened during our little break and everything was my wife got to meet her idol.
Woo!
And by meet her, we had meet and greets a few years back from Melissa Etheridge, but they pulled the COVID rules on us so we could see her from 6 feet away and wave to her and stuff. We didn't even get to touch or anything. My wife got to go to the Arvada Center and meet Melissa Etheridge, stand there. She also got autographed by Melissa Etheridge, so she got an autograph. So I was happy that she got that. She came home, and I said, right off the bat, I said, I got to see it. So I seen her the mark, the tattoo and stuff. You know, she's going to get it tattooed sometime. But I got all teary, you know, and stuff, because I was so happy for her. Well, she had sent me some pictures of her, you know, before with Melissa, and I didn't see him yet when I looked at those. So I told her, I said, I was bawling my eyes out. I was so happy.
Bucket list stuff. You've been wanting to do that for decades.
For her.
Yeah, I got Melissa Etheridge's symbol tattooed on my back. I think it was 23 years ago.
Wow.
And I've been wanting to have her autograph it, although I don't know if I'll ever be able to get it tattooed because I want to still give plasma, so we're just gonna have to figure that out.
Oh, good call.
But we'll figure that out at a different time. That being said, I want to kind of talk about the whole experience because it was really cool. So my friend Marcia, I think back in February, had asked me if I she goes, are we going to go to the Melissa Etheridge concert? And I was like, you know, I would love to. It's the Arvada Center. It's such a small little venue and everything and stuff. But I just don't have the money for it right now. And she's just like, well, we're going to get tickets. It doesn't matter. And I was like, dude, I can't pay you back. Like, I don't got it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, I get pre-sale and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And if I can get tickets, I just got it. And I was like, well, yeah, make it cheap or whatever, because I just don't want, if you're going to pay for my ticket, you know, and stuff.
Exactly.
And
general admission is fine.
Right. And I don't, you know, I've seen her. It's, you know, we're good. So she was having some problems with the pre-sale. They sent her, they said that they were going to send her a code for the pre-sale, and she got an email, and it says, here's your pre-sale code with no code.
Oh.
It was like blank.
Uh-oh.
And so she's like, so she tells me that, she sends me a copy, she's like, what do I do? And I was like, I still was like, thank you so much, that's very sweet of you, we'll be fine. And she's like, oh no, she was like on a mission, it was amazing. And so, like, she's like, I'm going to go up there and this and that. And she, like, made it, like, her mission. She was going to get these tickets. So, finally, she talked to somebody who kind of knew what was going on. Whatever. They ended up giving her the pre-sale code. She got it the day before. And she sends me a video on Messenger, and she's talking to her dog, and she's like, "Hey, Pippa, should we tell Auntie Lisa?" And she goes, "Well, here's the bad news is, or no, the good news is we got tickets. The bad news is that the only thing that was available was front row with meet and greet. I hope that's okay. I'm so sorry."
God bless her.
Wow, yeah. I know.
So I was just in awe. I was like, "You're kidding me, right?" And she's like, "Nope." And I was like, "Dude," I reiterate, I cannot pay you back for this. and she's like, "I didn't ask you to." And I was like, "I will give you nails." She's like, "Lisa, you don't have to, you know, like, pay me back. This is, I've been, because really the first ever Melissa Etheridge concert I went to was with Marsha and Daryl.
It's your thing.
It was, well, the thing that was funny was me and Marsha stood in line to get tickets in front of some music store.
Right. The one by Randy's?
No, it was the one that was across the street from the mall that's, it was like by around the corner restaurant.
Yeah, oh my God. I know what you're talking about. Here's the point, guys. This was before pewters and smartphones.
Yeah. So we used to have to
work for your tickets.
This was 30 years ago. The other thing was, is it was before Daryl and I were together. Wow. And so I was with another guy. Oh. And so he stood in line with us. I got the tickets for me and him and Marsha. So it was just the three of us going to go. Well, at the last minute, this dude writes me and says, "I got better tickets than you got, and I'm going to go ahead and just go with somebody else because they have better tickets than you."
Oh, my God.
And so I was like, "Whatever, you freaking douche," and stuff. So I asked,
"Thank you, douchebag."
Right. So I asked Daryl to go with us, and this was at Fiddler's Green. The cool thing was, is I don't know where that douchebag sat, but we had relatively good tickets anyways, but she had a second stage in the middle of the crowd, and it was right by us.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So we were right there anyways. So,
tell the funniest story, though.
The funniest story was that me and Daryl weren't together. We were just really good friends, and I just really had a lot of fun with him. So I had told him, I was like, "You're going to be so excited because there's so many girls there. You can flirt with anyone."
Because there's going to be so many chicks at this
point. Did you know what you were getting into, Daryl?
I did not know Melissa Etheridge's music or who she was or anything.
Yeah, so he had never heard anything. I mean, maybe stuff here and there, but he didn't know the culture, and he didn't know that she was a lesbian and that most of the girls were into each other and definitely not into him.
Right.
So, which was hilarious to watch him watching everybody.
We got there and grabbing a beer, and we get to our seats and stuff, and I'm looking around like, "Damn, you guys weren't lying. There's a lot of girls here."
It was pre-Hey Dude, so you couldn't call them out.
And Subarus.
So then I was like, "Hey, why are these chicks kissing? You know?" So then I went to the bathroom and came back. I go, "They're even in the men's restroom."
they
had no, they care. But it was from that point on, my love for Melissa Etheridge just grew.
We've probably seen her 20 to 30 times.
No, wow. God. Yeah, she's just, we just love her to death.
Yeah. Oh, I bet she's spectacular live.
So anyways, that being said, this was 30 years later. Marsh and I got to go again, thanks to her. And we went to a really, really good dinner. Just a shout out, Spice Room, if anybody hasn't eaten there, which is the old Gunther Tootie's in Arvada, it's freaking phenomenal.
Yep.
So we ate there for dinner. Then we went to go get our meet and greet passes because we had to go early. And they ended up that there was only four people in VIP, and so they kept changing the time to later and later and later because she didn't have to like spend as much time with their people because there wasn't very many people. And so it ended up, it was at the, I think the concert started at 7:30, so we got there at 5 and didn't get to meet her till 6:30, which was fine because we stayed inside the Arvada Center. It was nice and cool. We met this girl named Jessica, who was awesome, and she was so much fun, and I want her kind of to be my new best friend. Sorry, guys.
That's
and and I just, she's one of us. Like, I want to hang
out
with
Shelley
her.
Me and Shelley will be okay without you. Okay.
There's lots of love to go around.
Right. And so she was cool. She's going to listen to the podcast. She said she was wearing one of our pins, which was really cool. And so then,
that's the other thing. You gave Melissa a little gift.
I did. I gave Melissa a Good Witch, Bad Witch t-shirt, so I'll put that on the Facebook page if I can figure it out. And and she was lovely, and she looked beautiful, and
of course.
The concert was spectacular. Marsha even gave me the better seat because I was directly in front of her. Like, her microphone stand was, like, between my boobs. Well, that's how close I was.
That's right down the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was motorboating.
I was right in the middle, and it was almost too close because it was, like, I had to, like, way look up, and, I mean, like, she was, she could be spitting on me. Mm-hmm. She didn't spit on me because she's that classy.
You will never get sick
of it. I am sick of it before it happens. But it was like, it was amazing. My pictures are amazing. It was so cool. I think at one point she was like, "Can you shut up? I can't hear myself sing," because I was so loud.
She just turns the mic stand around to Lisa and be like,
"Yeah." I was hoping she would, like, hear me and go, "Oh, you're kind of a good singer. Let's sing together." That did not happen.
No, maybe next time.
Maybe. I don't know if there'll ever be a next time.
Don't push your bucket list. You got enough.
Yeah, I got it. I got enough. Anyways, I'm sorry I'm talking so much about it, but it was life changing and it was amazing. And I want to thank again my friend Marcia for honoring me and taking me to that. Thank you so much.
Were those pictures on the Good Witch Bad Witch podcast Facebook group or just on your personal page?
They were
page?
Just on my personal page. I'll
you,
put some
you
on
put
the,
a few on there. I thought you looked great. You were glowing.
I was so
she
happy.
Looked so gracious and kind and beautiful.
Yeah.
I wish there was more video of her singing. I think Marcia might have posted a song
because she'd read when she was young. My phone is being really weird.
Yeah.
And so it's not posting as much, but I do have
Blame
a
the
lot
cloud.
Of... Yeah, right? It's the cloud's fault. I did take a lot of video, though, too. So yeah.
They were great pictures. It looked like a marvelous time. So thank you all for letting us take a break once a year. And we had a week off. So take it.
And you got to listen to a pretty damn funny...
It was a redo.
Yeah, Paul did a really good job with that. Thank you again, Paul.
Agreed. Hey, you guys want to take a little break?
Why don't we? Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Hey, we just took a break.
Oh, let's take another. Alrighty, guys, we're back, and I popped myself in, and the girls love when I do that.
You have to give yourself a cue.
Got to cue myself up, but we're going to be doing a little show today, and it's about our life skills, things you've learned over the time in life and stuff, so I'm going to turn it over to Shelly, because she thought of this beauty, so get bad at it,
Lee. Get at it there, Shelly.
So life skills, I think, is something that we kind of take for granted and has been redefined over the years, because when I first thought about it, I was thinking of actual structural things that they teach you in school. Some of them will help you and some that won't, and we'll get to those later. But then when I gave it a goog to do the kind of Wikipedia thing, I got to a pedia that I've never heard of. Have you guys heard of Wikispedia?
Who?
Is that a venereal disease?
Is she part of the Wikipedia?
And perhaps an unreliable source. But I'm throwing this into the mix because I think it's like an evolution of actual life skills where you learn how to live. But these are, I think they call them soft skills also, but that really help people live life well. And they are self-awareness. Nobody's got that. Empathy. Some people have that.
Mm-hmm.
Creative thinking. Some people have to work at it. Some people are born with it. Critical thinking. Oh my God, we all need a little help. Problem solving. Also, decision making, coping with stress is a life skill, and coping with emotions. So anyway, I want to go with the traditional ones, and then if you guys want to throw in how you kind of learned some of those other ones too. But
when I looked it up, it says, what are life skills? And it says, life skills are those skills that enable individuals to adapt and cope with their demands and challenges of life. Every individual may have a list of the skills they consider more essential in life and want to improve them for a better career.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and just life in general, like success with relationships and stuff. Like, you may want to be a better kisser.
But that's a life skill. Yeah, and I was thinking also, like, when you were talking about, and you can continue on.
No, please.
But when we're talking about learned in school, like
home ec.
Home ec. Yeah. Exactly. So yes, keep.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you brought that up, though, because it's kind of a broad definition and worth the discussion and stuff, because they are really things that help you cope and thrive and what have you. But the first one that we were talking about was, what traditionally did you learn in school? So for our age group, it was home ec and shop. And the one that probably helped me the most before everybody could major in marketing and social media and everything else, that DECA club Dara was in. But it taught you business, basically, business and marketing. And we went to Colorado Springs and turned into stoners. We went to the Broadmoor. And no, it was the first time I ever smoked the pot. And we were on the tennis court at the Broadmoor. But those kind of classes, I think, were really helpful into, at the very least, helping you decide what you like and don't like, right?
Yeah.
But, and it was also kind of less racist than our, not racist, sexist than our parents, but way more sexist than your kids and grandkids and stuff, because it was almost expected that the girls took home ec and the guys took shop.
Well, it was funny because, I'm glad you said that part of it. We had one, it was called Single Survival.
Ooh.
It was the class. Neat?
That's wonderful.
Single Survival, which was pretty much home ec, but that's what they kind of changed up. They called it that.
Laundry.
So I was like, I'm going to take this class. That sounds killer.
Yeah.
Took the class. Only three other guys in the class besides me. All of it was girls.
Right.
But I had an advantage because I was taught some of the things that they were teaching in this class. I think it was 10th or 11th grade, at least 11th grade when I took it. Yeah. And I already knew how to sew. My grandmother taught me how to sew. I was already cooking by then because my grandmother had taught me how to cook stuff.
Yeah.
So it was funny because when we'd have certain things, how do you get blood stain out of, you know,
Club soda?
Hairspray works really
there
good.
There you go. But it has to be the pump kind.
Yeah, the hairspray. So I knew all this life, these little life hacks already. So in the class, the girls would gravitate towards me because they're like, he knows what he's doing over here.
Because
they'd say, okay, get in groups of six. The next thing I know, I had five other girls. I had five girls on me going, we're with D. Brown, you know? And so the other guys are like, what do we smell or what's up? You
know? They're like, he knows how to change a diaper.
But you were acing it, seriously.
But no, seriously. So that it was, and we had to do silly things. Like they gave us a whole chicken. And we'd had to make four different meals out of a whole chicken.
Oh,
and I knew exactly what to do. And the girl's like, God, you are good at this. So, that was a great class. And they need classes like that. And, you know, you took your computer classes, learned that. I didn't take any kind of business classes. I wish I would have. And being a owner of a business and running a boutique, I could have learned a lot of things.
Absolutely. For sure. And for those of you that don't know Daryl that well, he runs a beautiful home.
Yeah.
Oh, thank
absolutely.
You. Got a very tidy home and yard, and now we know why.
Yeah, it was life skills.
There we go.
Yeah,
it was all to my grandma.
Do your kids say that they teach those kind of classes still, or no?
I don't know. I think they did. I think I don't know about the kids and how, but our kids did take classes like that.
They had. They did the whole thing with Caden, where he had to bring that baby home.
Yeah,
and stuff,
right.
And
huge.
You had to like hold the key to make it stop crying until. It would, you know, while it made you get up in the middle of the night.
The funny thing about that was he brings this baby home and he goes, well, I have to take care of this baby all weekend. But he goes, but I also have to work. So he handed the baby off to Shannon. So
well, that would be like real life.
Yeah,
well, no, but I loved it because, you know, Shannon goes, here, I'm babysitting already. He's off to work.
Shannon goes, God, I hope Natalia doesn't take that same class. I can't raise another baby. We were laughing so hard.
How long did they have to take care of it?
I think it was Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday, yeah.
Guess what's stopping teenage pregnancy?
But right. That was genius. I think that's a great thing for them to do. You know, they didn't do that with us. They gave us an egg or a potato.
Yeah, you had an egg that you couldn't
They
break.
Didn't do it with me. They're like, well, you've already got a kid at home.
You already broke your egg.
Yeah, it's too late.
So talking about being in school and whatever. So when I was in 10th grade, I had taken a typing class and not enough people signed up for it. So they were like, you can either, I'm sorry, but we're just canceling this.
Oh.
So you can take gym.
Uh-huh.
No.
No, thank you.
Something else that was like, that seems like, this is supposed to be an elective. Screw you. I'm not going to, it was like, math on Mars, you know, like, I don't know, but I
you'll
was
never
like,
use it.
No. And I'm just like, I'm not, if it's supposed to be an elective, I want it to be fun.
Sure.
So the only, the third one that they had room in was shop. Yeah. Yeah. Auto
was
shop.
It like, I was going to say, was it wood shop or auto shop?
It was so auto jealous. Shop. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. Because, so I was, first of all, the only girl.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, the only 10th grader.
Oh.
All the rest of the boys were seniors.
Yeah.
And that's when it was all the Brew Crew guys.
Yeah.
And they were the most popular guys in the school. So it was all of them.
This sounds like a really sexy class so far.
Well, you would think. So I was... already not self-aware. That's not what I'm talking about.
You'd become a woman.
Well, there's that. I just got She's my got boobies.
Boobies.
No, I felt insecure.
Mm. Yeah.
And whatever. Plus, the best looking guys in the whole school are here. They know about cars. I don't know anything.
Right.
So I like full-fledged. And I think that back then, you had your electives every other day or every 3 days or something.
Okay.
I don't remember. But every day that it landed on my auto shop, I would get full-fledged ready.
Oh.
So,
to go into work on cars. She's like, hey, yeah. Boys. Or all.
Well, I remember this one time.
It's not a beauty contest.
They brought in a car, mm-hmm. and it was cold because we're Colorado, and it was during the winter. And I am, like, full-fledged in a dress, I think with heels. With my Lee press-ons,
uh-huh.
and there's ice on the car window sill, uh-huh. and so I'm trying to be sexy, and I'm like, I went over, and I'm like picking at the ice, and my Lee press-on went, pew, across the room. I think hit one of the best-looking guys in the school.
Hey, is this yours?
I was and they like all looked at each other and like started giggling, and I was mortified, and I never went back.
Oh,
so I had like 4 days of auto shop.
Okay, if you had to go back in time, this is what you should have done. So there's frost on the windshield.
Uh-huh.
I would have like, because you're probably wearing a cute little skirt. I would have pulled that up and just sat on it and go like, I'm melting it.
Boys. I should have done the whole Tawny Katane thing.
Yes,
and like here I go again on my own.
Lots of leg crossing.
There goes my knee.
I've never been so mortified in my life.
And you probably were cuter than hell, though.
I bet.
Oh, no. And it was like they were so cool, these guys. That
the ice melted off the car.
No, that they weren't even going to make fun of me because they didn't need to.
Yeah.
Because that's how... But they
were fine.
You can kind of like looked at them like looking at each other like we're not going to...
It's
kind of funny, but we're not going to make her feel stupid. But I felt stupid enough to never go back.
Did you feel like they were going to pat you on the head like, there, little bunny?
I don't care. I just knew that I was never going to walk back in that place
again. Hey, Lisa, give me a 9/16 wrench, huh?
I remember another thing that they did, though, is, and this probably today would be not frowned upon, but frowned upon. Not you couldn't do it. They had the teacher made one person, like we all had to hold hands, which again, I'm dying.
What, in shop?
Yes, but wait. No, but I'm dying because like I'm between like Jack Frost and Erin Mulligan.
Okay,
and yeah. I'm like, oh God, like I'm melting here.
Uh-huh.
Don't break one of my Lee press-ons. And so we're holding hands, and then he made the first guy touch like this kind of battery thing,
yeah.
and make the jolt go through everybody to the last person.
Smart.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably in this day and age would have been like, we would have sued.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What if you have a teenager with a pacemaker or something?
Yeah, right. But yeah, it was really, that was interesting.
We melted Jack Frost. Oops.
I know everybody thinks that name is made up, but it ain't.
Yeah, it ain't. It wasn't.
Where did we see him?
He's on Facebook.
The North Pole? Yeah. Scratching on your window panes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Lisa, but anyways, that's for shop.
Yeah. So, anyways, that is what I didn't learn.
So that was 35 years ago.
Okay.
So, what do you think that schools should have now for life skills? Because I think
manners. Teach manners.
All girls shop manners. How to like do a household budget?
How to you don't really have to balance your checkbook anymore because of...
It's the same thing, different words, yes. Really. You know, it's like, I have this much money, I have this many bills, how do I figure it out? How do I save?
To communicate with people, like, face-to-face?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, instead of on your phone.
Like, how to have a conversation.
Yeah, look people in the eyes and be honest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your parents, obviously, and your parents, did they teach you how to do your laundry and everything like that, too?
Yeah, definitely. We were doing chores before we were 10, yeah, for sure.
Same thing with me. I had to pull up a chair and stand on it to do dishes, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. So. Every Saturday we would watch the cartoons, then we'd have to do all our chores before we could go play.
Yeah.
I wish, personally, not like what they would have now, but what I would have had, what I wish I would have learned earlier in life is stress management.
Great,
and,
for sure.
And self-control.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can teach somebody that, but if that was something you could teach, I wish that I could.
I think Janet tried that. It.
Control!
And coping with emotions.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, with not with just dulling it down with
antidepressants. Medications. Sure.
Yeah. One thing that
Lisa, that's a great one.
Really made me feel good as during the holidays, we'll have family over and stuff. And my granddaughter, Natalia, will always clean up.
Oh.
She'll be the first one to, I'll be, honey, you don't need to do that. She goes, but I want to do it, Papa.
I love
it. And she'll wash the dishes and everything and wipe down the counters and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, now there's hope.
Yes.
You know what is another life skill that kids, no matter what, should be taught? And it's just, I think it should be mandatory that it needs to be passed down from the parent to the child, is how to write a thank you card.
Yes.
And stuff.
Oh,
I think it's
definitely
so rude to get any kind of present and not write a thank you card.
Absolutely.
We got a beautiful thank you card from our grandson for
and
his
you
graduation.
Save them. Yeah. It means so much to
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And the main thing is, especially if you put a lot of money into it or something, you don't know if they received it.
Yes.
It's like, mm-hmm. I just want to know that you got it.
I want to know that you got it. Not you don't even have to like overly like, but it's nice if you say like,
I want you to kiss my ass.
Pretty much.
You'd be like, you are the best grandma ever.
Right. But it's just nice. It's just nice to know that they had enough decency to sit down and handwrite something.
Yes.
To put a stamp on it and send it.
And acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Which goes along with just basic responsiveness. We have
yes.
a lot of problems with younger people just not even answering our texts.
Right.
It's like, I just want to know if you're coming or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do I have to feed your ungrateful ass?
Yeah, there should be a courteous app.
Yes, yeah. A courteous class.
Yeah.
Eye contact, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Manners, all of those things. It just helps you, and it's free.
Melissa Etheridge had great eye contact, by the way.
I believe it. That's
oh,
probably
my God.
She was kind of digging you a little bit, though.
I think more with Marsha, but that's okay.
Yeah?
She just looked right
Marsha's a beautiful
soul.
Woman, too. So
yeah.
That all tracks.
And Marsha looks like she's tall, and stuff. So she was up there. You're Lisa down here going...
And I was on the tall part of it because it was like a slope.
Oh, sure.
And stuff. So I made Marsha be on the, sorry, I'm digress, but she had to be on the lower part because she had heels on and she's tall anyways.
Yeah.
So we could all look the kind of the same.
I love
and
it.
Stuff. But yeah, she, yeah.
Let's go back to shop for a
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
Could we have like a homemaking shop? So let's say your 10 basic tools. Tell me what the hell those are.
Sewing.
You know, like the difference between, well, no, like actual tools.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
the difference between an Allen wrench and a.
Oh, that kind of shop.
Like
yeah.
a Phillips
yeah.
screwdriver and all that other stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, I live by myself and there's so many single people or, you know, single parents. Or, it's like, I have to hang something heavy.
Yeah.
What's a stud finder? Because I want it for two different reasons.
Mine right. always goes towards Daryl.
I know.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop.
I love shells. When she says, you know, different tools, isn't it? So our beautiful friend here, when she moved into her new condo, we went down there to help her do some stuff. And she goes, well, I'm trying to put this entertainment center together.
I did everything else myself. I put together the bed.
No, she did. She did.
I could not figure it out.
I was reading these instructions, and I swear to God, I'm like, these are Japanese. I don't know. But I'm looking, luckily they had some illustrations of stuff. And I'm like, this. I had to take it apart.
Uh-huh, because I screwed it up.
And restart doing it, but I actually did figure it out. I don't know how the hell, but I was laughing. I go, well, but I'm like, God bless you for trying. You know,
oh, sure.
You went for it. And like you said, well, I put this thing together, and I put that and this and that.
Figure it out.
It had a million tiny little parts, this and
yes,
that.
Yes, and
yeah.
it sat there forever just making me angry every day. And these guys got me a awesome TV that I still use for the housewarming present. I had nowhere to put it because I couldn't put this thing together. And so Daryl saved the day on that one for sure. But they should teach that in school.
They should, yeah. And like you said, different tools. This is an Allen wrench. Uh-huh. This is people, there's kids today that don't know the difference between a flathead and a Phillips
right.
screwdriver. You know, and they're like, what's a flathead? And they're looking around, you know. But
that's when you hit them over the head and make their heads.
What's funny is anytime we get anything that needs to be built, Lisa goes, okay, I'll be back.
Yeah.
I leave. I can't. Daryl gets so frustrated. He's getting better.
I think I'm a lot better. Yeah.
But
when I was younger,
frustrating.
I used to
Yeah. We had actually an entertainment center one time that he was trying to put together, and he got to almost the end, and there was missing parts. And so he called the company, and they're like, okay, we'll take it apart.
Take it apart and
send it back. We need all of the parts. And he's like, can't you just send me the two parts that I don't have?
Exactly. Before I kill my wife?
Yeah, and myself.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, and they're like, no, we need to send you a whole new one. You have to send that. And he was so mad, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go get a beer.
I think if you taught a lot of these people the soft skills that we talked about, there'd be better customer service.
Yes.
So my mom was just telling me about a friend of hers. Her husband was older and riddled with problems and stuff. And anyway, when he passed, she was paying for his phone that she didn't need any longer. And he had a flip phone, which is basically obsolete now. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like them. So she called the company. I think it was Verizon. You can go fuck yourself. And they...
Shelley hates Verizon.
I hate Xfinity more. But,
oh, okay.
But they said, we're going to send you a box. Send us back the phone. We'll send you a dress label, everything else. And then, you know, take it off your bill and give you retroactive credit. So she waits and waits and waits and waits. The box never shows up. So like 3 weeks after that, she calls him. She's like, you said that you were going to send me a box so I can get credit for this phone again. And they're like, well, the 2-week limit has passed. And she said, no. God damn you, into the phone. So I think that if more people had empathy and awareness and all those other soft life skills that we were talking about, they would realize how frustrating and evil they are to older people that are nice.
Well, yeah, and people that even aren't, I mean, yes,
do
older
your job.
People, but also just anybody who's like, don't make me feel crazy.
Exactly.
You didn't send me the goddamn box.
And you signed up and get paid for helping people.
Right.
And you're doing the exact opposite. You're making people stabby.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. That's serial killers.
Crazy stuff like that. When my grandmother passed away, my uncle called the phone company to have them turn her, you know, her service off. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, that's fine. But she still was renting an old rotary phone.
Oh my God.
And we're going to need you to return that. My uncle's,
What the hell
are you talking about?
It's probably been paid for decades. Yeah. What are we doing?
She paid $5 a month for 83 years.
Are you kidding me?
He goes,
there's no phone. There's, you know, she has a cordless phone that we bought her for Christmas 20 years ago, and you want a phone back? He goes, I don't know what to tell you.
That's insane.
You know, and stuff. And the guy goes, you probably could find one at an Arc.
Come pry it out of my cold dead hands.
They really wanted him to return a phone. And he goes, yeah, I don't see that happening, so charge her for it.
Yeah.
I have to give a shout out because it's not always bad news. But when I finally, after months, literal months, wrangling with Xfinity, got a human lady person, because they had taken away my mom's home phone number that she'd had for 43 years. The hospital couldn't get a hold of her. Nobody could get a hold of her. Everybody thinks that she was dead.
Oh, no.
And I finally got a human woman, and she was the nicest lady. We chit-chatted. She was great. And she's like, you're the reason why I do this. I'm like, you're the reason that I'm not in jail.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to send her a shout out. I think her name was Celeste. Yeah. So there's good people out there, but it shouldn't be so damn hard.
Right.
And I think if these skills were taught, and if you can't afford to have people and just need to have robots for everything, maybe do something else.
Yeah,
you know what drives me crazy is we have our home, you know, as far as skills to people that don't have them, our home warranty people, I will call them to set something up if I need something done.
Yeah.
And they'll say, okay, well, we will need to get a credit card. I go, you have a credit card on file.
But they charge me every month.
But they go, but your name's not on the credit card. It's under Liza Brown. I go, well, that's Lisa Brown. And
it's
supposed to say that I have authorization to use this card. So they're like, no, we're going to have to talk to her personally.
It's like, I'm at goddamn work. He's doing that for me because he's at home and that's part of his job.
Yes.
And so then they have to call her. So I call her real quick. I go, they're going to call you. Make sure your phone's on. But that is one thing, one of those that drives me crazy. If you put a credit card on file and you have authorization from the person that's names on the card, it's good to go.
And it happens all the time where it doesn't make sense because you're like, okay, now we have 8 extra steps for me to just like go and find a stranger and have nice things done to their home.
Mm-hmm.
That's my prank. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Right.
If you weren't authorized, hey, I don't know this lady, but I think that she needs some work done on her foundation.
Right. Well, that's like one time at the bank, Daryl was going to deposit money for me.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, your name's not on the account. You can't deposit money. You know what? Bank, No matter who wants to deposit money into my account, I don't care if it's the damn devil himself or the rapper Satan. Wants to deposit money. You go ahead and accept that whether or not they're on my account.
Nobody ever does a good gesture. No. Oh, here's $1,000.
Just put it in this, this random lady's account.
I am so glad I'm not that bank. You looked really scary right now.
Just like,
hey, listen, bank.
I'm like, I don't care who wants
well,
to do
it. Well, it was funny. So we did. We finally went in and she goes,
put him on the account.
Put him on all my accounts. That way it can be taken care of, you know. But oh my God,
I didn't get it if they're trying to take money out.
Of course.
But putting it in, go ahead.
That is the silliest thing. Yeah. And I forgot about old rapper Saint Tone.
National security for Stitch Fix or something. If somebody wants to send me an outfit that's properly tailored to my style, fine.
And that's S-A-Y-T-O-N.
Yeah.
Satone.
Satone.
Yeah, oh my God. It's not Lil Satone.
Maybe. That's his little brother. That's the next generation.
Life skills, comedy. We learned it on the streets.
Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
What else we got?
Things you taught yourself, comedy.
Things you caught yourself, comedy. How to not die after dark when you're six.
Yeah.
We just played outside.
No.
Communication.
Once the lights, you know, like everybody says, once the street lights came on, you scattered like freaking cockroaches home.
Yeah.
And everybody then, booked.
This is kind of a school one too, and maybe parents, but maps.
Oh,
we had to teach ourselves geography, which is why I never learned anything.
Right.
I don't know where I am.
I don't. Geography is my massage therapist, Terry, was talking today about her son was thinking about going to the school in Wisconsin. And she's like, well, that's only a half an hour away from Toronto. And I'm like, really?
Hey, and how did you know that?
She goes, you just go over the Great Lakes. I'm like,
what are you, an
Canada? Atlas? Yeah. I'm like, wait, what? And stuff. So
she goes,
that's a whole other country.
Right.
That's crazy pants.
Yeah.
What did you guys teach yourselves, do you think?
Oh, gosh.
I think I had to teach myself
I was going to say.
Ask for help. Because I was used to being really good at certain things and kind of skating on that. Like, you know, obviously personality. But, you know, spelling, English stuff or whatever just kind of came naturally to me. When I needed help with math, it wasn't until, like, high school, I had to ask for help. And that was really hard.
I always worked in, I worked in the lumber business for a long time, and then I went into the freight business. I never did hands-on work, like building.
Manual labor,
So when I went to work for Lisa's dad, I kind of had to make him think that I knew more than I did.
I thought you did know more than you did. You were a good faker.
And so, I mean, he'd be like, okay, I'm going to need you to change out this faucet. And I'm you know, and you couldn't give it a goog.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm looking at stuff. Okay, it looks like, screw it. So I did a lot of on-the-fly stuff. I mean,
When you first started working for my dad, you didn't know how to read a tape measure.
Uh-uh. Right?
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because in the...
inches.
I had known, like, the basics, but I had to get down, like, to, you know, the ace and this and that. Because when I worked in the lumber business, everything was either holes or halves, you know, so... But her dad went, you know, when I went to work for him, I had to learn how to do drywall. I had to learn how to, you know, I'd never taken out a hot water heater before.
Yeah.
Had to figure that out.
I haven't either.
Yeah. Take a dishwasher out, put a new dishwasher in this stuff.
That's why I have a home warranty.
Thank you. And I'm out.
But that's impressive. You learned on the fly.
Yeah, I totally learned a lot of stuff on the fly. And then it was kind of fun because when we got our first little house, we just rented it, but I did a lot of stuff there. You know, hung some cabinets, did some stuff there. So it was
painted.
Yeah.
I think if you start with your kids, I don't know if it necessarily needs to be a school thing because you learn that in a different way. But just flat out problem solving. It's like, well, I can't fix this unless I know what broke it.
Right.
Kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the one and only handy thing that I'm at like 10%, I can generally fix a toilet. Like, you know, something's going on in the tank, I'll reconnect the chain or do whatever. But, like, that was... I mean, I'm not asking for a fucking medal in the plumbing arts.
No, but...
But it was just one of those... Probably I was at a party like Lisa was when the toilet wouldn't flush and she had to fish out a Dixie cup.
Oh, no. Yeah, she had to hide a turd.
I have to fix this toilet on the fly, and here we are. Not that I poop, but, yeah. I've heard of people that do.
You do. It just doesn't smell.
It doesn't.
Right? It comes out little poops of roses.
They look like Hershey's Kisses.
Yeah.
Really cute.
I think that one of the life skills that I... wish that I had and I don't is delegating.
Oh, yeah. Definitely saying no, delegating.
I think I'm okay with saying no. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say no if I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But it's either like I don't want to do it
or
I'm going to do it all.
Right.
There's no in between. Like, I don't want to do it, so I'm gonna actually ask this person because they're better. No,
you can't farm it out.
No,
I think you're getting better at that as far as the podcast goes. Because in January we had an efficiency meeting. This is how it's going to go this year. It lasted for 2 weeks.
Yep.
But you were able to express your feelings professionally and logically, and we all agreed with you, and then promptly didn't do it.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I did this. I was telling Daryl about this. I don't know if this really doesn't have anything to do with anything else other than just saying no. People have probably noticed and stuff. I'm a people pleaser, first of all, and second of all, well, sort of, but I guess at work I am.
Yeah.
And I want people to be happy with my work.
Of
and
course.
I over what? Okay. But I also am money hungry because I can never get enough of it because I always want to be doing stuff and this and that.
Right.
So I hardly ever say no to anything, although I am doing more no's to like nail art that I really can't do. Like I'd rather just say I can't do that than try to do something and it turns out ugly.
Right.
Yeah. You should have seen a Golden Gate Bridge I tried to do one time. That was ridiculous. It had two suns. I don't know how that happened. Anyways. But yesterday, one of the girl that works downstairs from me, Michelle, who I actually really like, she does nails. She's trying to get out of doing gel pedicures.
Oh.
And I only do gel pedicures.
Okay.
And so she's like, can I refer a client to you? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's probably one of, other than full sets, it's one of my best money making things.
Sure.
And so this woman writes me and she's like, hi, Lisa, this is Kat. Michelle referred me to you. Do you think that you can get me in for a pedicure sometime within the next week, a gel pedicure? The only thing is that I need your place to be fragrance free without any candles, air fresheners. I don't like all she like listed off about five different things and absolutely no acrylic smell.
It's a nail salon.
I died.
And I was like, and I just wrote her back and I put, I don't think we're a good match for each other. Good luck.
Yeah.
I just was like, perfect. I can tell by this text, you're a pain in my ass already.
Exactly.
I can't.
Right.
I just can't. And I'm not going
to
be
I want to go to a grocery store that doesn't smell like food.
Yeah.
Can you accommodate me?
Yeah. I was just like, she's like, I'm very sensitive to smells. And I'm like, I didn't even try to go back and forth with her. Like, you know, like you come over and give it a whiff. You know, no. I was like, I'm nipping this in the bud.
Yes, smart.
And we are done and stuff. So I am getting better at stuff.
What was funny? Learned from how many other pain in the asses?
35 years of pain in the asses.
I told Lisa, I go, what's her name? Didn't stop doing pedicure. She stopped doing her
pedicure.
You're probably right.
She goes, oh, I don't do those anymore. It's because that's how bad this woman was.
Well, she likes me. My phone's
dead. Just kidding. Like, she wouldn't do that.
No. That's funny.
Yeah, that's a bad one. One thing that my parents taught me, if we were done with teaching ourselves, that I don't know if it's a life skill or not, but to respect people's privacy. We were very, I think it's a good life skill to not be nosy. I'm inherently nosy and curious and stuff, but like you don't ask people how much they make. You don't ask people how much the bill was, unless it's you. You know, like you can talk to your best friends that way or whatever, but or unless they offer and say it. But yeah, you don't say, well, I got that for you and it was this much or whatever. It's just, you just don't do that.
I never went through, like my mom never went through my stuff, you know, and which is great. Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't do that with my kids either. And I also like, I always had like that whole thought, like, have you ever heard of people going through their significant others, like cell phones and shit?
Where there's smoke, there's a fire.
Well, yeah,
there's
being nosy. Are you kidding
me? Yeah. It's like,
my whole thing on that whole thing is like, first of all, I trust my husband,
right.
But that's fine. Even if I didn't, I'm not going to go through his phone and see him writing 10,000 different women about how much he loves me.
Right.
You know, you're not going to find anything great.
Right.
Why do it?
Exactly.
You know, it's
you're
looking
to get hurt.
It just seems ridiculous.
Hey, listen, Playboy Bunny, my wife is my world.
Exactly. I don't want to see your booby pictures anymore. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Guess you just got unfriended.
Yeah.
Playboy Bunny.
So I'm kind of the same way. It's like, you know.
Just respect it. If you think that you can't trust them, it's a conversation you need to have. I've never looked through a person's phone.
I never have either.
Yeah. My mom just, I say this quite a bit, and I just, she just always was the one that told me, never forget who you are and where you came from.
Yeah, that's
a good one. No matter what you get, if you think you've gotten something a little bit better, you have, but you're still that same person where you came from down here.
Right.
So you get to here, you're no better than where you know, you bettered yourself, but you're no better than anybody, and don't forget who you are and where you came from.
Do you think rich people think that way too?
No.
Like if they're like...
I'm even extra...
Like if they were poor before
or if they started out rich.
And they're richer, even richer now.
And then they're poor and they're like, don't forget who you are, rich guy.
You just turned that whole thing on its head.
You sure did. You should have said that to my mother. She'd have went, oh, Lisa.
Why wasn't it a rich lady?
You're ridiculous.
At least, no, she would have been like, for fuck's sake, Lisa. That's what your mom would have said to me.
Yes, that's where I get my for fuck's sakes from, is my mother.
Would you guys consider anger management as a life skill? Like we, kind of with the privacy and respect and anger thing, we would get in huge trouble if we hit each other. Mm. We just never touched each other. Monty, she had the stomach once for the infamous instant pudding incident. I was probably begging for it. I don't know. But he never hit me again.
Because did he get hit or he got in trouble?
He got in trouble.
Yeah. Well,
probably. Or maybe he was ashamed. I don't know what the deal was. But in any case.
Yeah,
anger management, I think, is a really good life skill.
I think my parents taught me hard work, too.
Yeah.
My parents were both very, very hardworking people.
They still are.
Well, that's the thing I always try and tell my wife is when we had we didn't lose our shop, but we had to move out of our shop in Old Town. Uh-huh. She was totally doubting herself. She's like, should I even be, am I even a business owner? Am I good business owner? Should I do this?
Best.
Look at you now. You own two businesses now. And I mean, you've been doing it for how long?
It's been, 10 years since
Old Town.
But I mean,
single-handedly or double-handedly.
It's been since 1991.
And look, and you're still going.
1990, whatever. Yeah.
And you're so good looking.
Yes. You know, and that's one thing I always tell her. I said, you never doubt yourself. You're a great business owner.
Well, thank you. I agree. I appreciate you.
And never forget where you came from.
I agree with you, but I appreciate
what'd you, say?
I was going to say I agree with you, and I didn't mean to say that. I appreciate you.
And don't interrupt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Good life skill.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here.
And be a good listener. Okay, what do you think that you have taught your kids and grandkids or nieces and nephews, young people in the younger generation, either by example or on purpose, mostly on purpose?
I think that on purpose with me, because I don't think that I was the kindest person when I was younger. I don't think that I meant to be unkind, but I think that part of my insecurity was trying to be tougher than I was.
Got it.
So I was not unkind, but not overly kind to try to protect myself.
Right.
But I think that I tried to teach, especially my grandkids, more empathy and kindness.
Yeah.
And stuff. I remember one time with Kaden and Natalia before Cecilia was born that we were, and I was like, what would happen if there was a girl in your class and this and that, and everybody made fun of her and stuff, how would you act, you know, and stuff. And so I would do a lot of that stuff with them, you know.
That's huge. You're stopping serial killers.
Well, I didn't think they'd be serial killers anyways, but I just wanted them to be nicer to people and never be a bully you know, and stuff like that. So
your tough girl act, were you kind of empathizing with Joe from The Facts of Life?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who Lisa was.
Yeah.
But goth.
Right. Yeah.
Goth Joe.
Yeah.
Jenny
was
from the block.
Right?
Well, was she wearing Hey Dudes? I don't know.
I don't know.
They never showed her feet. She rode a Kawasaki.
Oh, yeah. I don't ever remember her having a boyfriend, though, right?
Oh, she did.
She did?
Yeah, she had a boyfriend.
Okay. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
We'll watch it later.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to go. You know me. I watch all those old shows.
Go back to the
I'm
going to
be
life.
Back, and Lisa's going to walk by my room. You take the good, you take the bad.
I think a life skill that we've learned as podcasters is maybe to quit while we're ahead. You guys ready for the next segment?
Yes, for sure.
Yes, all righty. Well, that was a great one. Thank you, Shells, for all that.
Sure.
Coming back with what you're talking about.
Okie doke. The world, I bet the
who did you pop?
I popped in the air. Did you see that?
Because he didn't know.
That didn't make sense. Welcome back to What You're Talking About, one of my very favorite segments where the witches talk about whatever they feel like that day, and it could be factual or opinionated or about cicadas or cicadas, but we don't know what Lisa's going to do, or do we?
No, hit it, bad witch. Oh, I was first. Hi.
Yeah.
It was 2.5 seconds and I've already lost it. Okay, mine is a story from AP News. And it is a new Arizona museum tells stories of ancient animals through their fossilized poop.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Does it stink?
I'm not sure. A new museum in northern Arizona featured fossilized feces of prehistoric animals. This place that's opening this spring in Williams. Read more. Hold on. one way to help tell how a Tyrannosaurus Rex digests food is to look at its poop.
Totally.
Yeah. Wow. Bone fragments and pieces of fossilized excrement at the new museum in northern Arizona, aptly called the Poozeum. And among the tinier bits of evidence that indicate T-Rex wasn't much of a chewer, but rather swallows whole chunks of prey.
Oh.
Wow, that's got to be a big poop there.
That's right.
The sample is one of more than 7,000 on display at the museum that is opening in May, which is, this must be an older story, because that's before now.
Yes.
It's old poop.
Yeah, it's, well.
Even
know.
Older.
I wonder if they like, no, because it's fossilized, so they don't like do the poop. They just leave it there. Okay. It's in Williams, a town known for its Wild West shows along Route 66, wildlife attractions, and railway to the Grand Canyon National Park. The Poozeum sign features a bright green T-Rex cartoon character sitting on a toilet to grab the attention from buzzing neon lights. Muffled 1950 music emanates from others' businesses. I want to go to this town.
Totally. Summer of Discovery.
Yeah, totally fun. Display cases filled with coprolites, fossilized feces from animals that lived millions of years ago. Inside the display cases, blah, 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 I just read that, of years ago, they range from minuscule termite droppings to massive species that weighs 20 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. The Poozeum's president and curator, whose name is George Frudgeson, bought his first chunk of fossilized feces from a shop in Moab, Utah when he was 18, and said he already loved dinosaurs and fossils, but never heard of a fossilized poop. From there on, his fascination grew.
Wow.
So.
Found his life calling.
Yeah. It's really cute. I'll send you a picture of cute little, what did I say his name was? Frank? Fred? I just read it and I don't even remember.
Fred Fertilizer.
Whatever his name is. The fertilizer guy. And his little Poozeum, which is actually adorbs.
I so liked cute. When you called it the Poozeum.
I think that
would
even,
I think it would be better.
Poozeum.
It's Poozeum, but I like Poozeum better.
That'd be
so
cute.
When we were that age and wasted money on Judas Priest LPs,
right.
He's like, hey, I need some fossilized poop.
Someday I'm going to make a fortune.
So remember in Happy Gilmore when Adam Sandler is fighting with the bad guy with the gold jacket and he's like, I eat pieces of poo like you for breakfast.
Yeah. You eat pieces of poo for breakfast?
Exactly. He should be at that museum.
He should.
That would be great.
Scooter McGavin.
Scooter McGavin.
Yeah. Shooter.
Yeah. Pew pew. Poo poo.
Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
That was a great story.
Thanks.
My story is from History Facts, and during World War I, Americans called sauerkraut Liberty Cabbage.
Mm.
Americans have a long tradition of rebranding any foods that bear the name of a rival nation during times of conflict. When France refused to support the United States war in Iraq in 2003, for example, the cafeteria menus in three congressional office buildings in Washington, D.C. changed the name of French fries, which by some accounts were actually invented in Belgium, to Freedom Fries, and French toast became Freedom Toast. The U.S. pulled a similar move while at war with Germany during World War I. Sauerkraut's German origins led Americans to rename the condiment Liberty Cabbage. There's more, but come on, guys. Yeah. That's funny. The end. Nice. Oh, wait.
Oh.
The seemingly all-American hot dog, meanwhile, was called a Frankfurter at the time, and as the connection to Frankfurt, Germany couldn't stand, it was rebranded Liberty Sausage. The term hot dog is also sneakily of German origin, as it comes from dachshunds, a.k.a. little dogs.
Oh.
You heard it here first, guys.
Okay.
Nice.
Liberty Cabbage.
I like that one.
It's really sauerkraut.
My what you're talking about is a little bit more of an outcry to our fans and stuff. I need help. Your man which has been spending the past week and a half or so trying to figure out which air fryer system I want to get.
Oh.
I need help.
Because Prime Day is coming up.
I'm really looking. I was looking at the double, the 10-quart one or whatever. It was the Ninja one. But then I read some reports that they're finding that it has, they're containing lead.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. So I started looking at the other ones that are different ones that are air fryer combos. Mm-hmm. And I like this Emerald one. It's a dual zone air fryer oven.
Oh.
You keep it on your countertop there. So I'm like, I am going crazy. I've looked at everything. I'm researching this. My son-in-law has a Cuisinart one. And then this person's got this. So anybody out there that's listening to our show, if you've got an air fryer that you think is the one that's the best, I'd like your input back.
There so you can go. Make freedom fries?
Freedom fries and,
cheese curds.
Poop.
Also poop. We will have Fiona poops.
I'll air fry Fiona's poop and be like, sell it to somebody.
It's only $5 and you can come look at it.
I don't think they do that.
I don't know. But yeah, so, I mean, that's my what you're talking about is air fryers. Help me out.
You got it. I'm coming over for the first meal.
Yes.
Well, good job. We will be back with Wow.
Wow.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Hey guys.
Wows always sound the same.
It's almost Olympic time.
That
sounded like Shaft.
What were you doing?
I was doing the bump bump bum 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 the
Banjo Chariots of Fire?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Okay, I'll wow you more next time, eh?
I'm underwowed.
Better.
Yeah.
Thank you. I can't do stuff without. See, there's a life lesson. I can't do stuff without you guys.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a life lesson learned.
That's just a fact.
But it's our segment. Wow, we love it. We've got Shells who does true crime.
Yep.
We got Lisa who talks about animals all, and I talk about Muzak. And so, who's going to bring us in on the wow? Shells.
I can.
Yes.
True crime rule number 28: Don't be a shitty step parent. Just don't do it.
Are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at anybody. I can't see shit. I'm wearing readers that are going up in prescription. So I know many, many lovely step-parents. I know a lot of step-parents that are better parents than biological parents. But this step-parent is a real piece of work. Did you guys see the latest Dateline called Waves of Deceit?
Tell me about it.
I will. There's a couple that was married, Kelly and David, and then David decided to have an affair with this woman, Laura, who was having an affair with her husband, and then David and Laura ended up together. And Kelly, the first mom, had a son, a six-year-old little boy named Taylor with David, and she's like, I don't want another woman in Taylor's life unless you are serious and are married. So the second that they got divorced, Kelly and David, he ends up marrying Laura so that the son can come over and be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, she takes Taylor to the beach, picks him up from school, takes him on an impromptu beach picnic, and he drowns.
Oh.
Accidents happen. That would be terrible and a nightmare, and I can't even believe it. But she had all these different opportunities to do the right thing. She was CPR trained didn't do it. Walked him past a group full of people, just smiled and waved, didn't ask anybody for help. Drove him 12 miles to a hospital instead of down to the fire department or EMT. Called 911, and it was in cell phone times. And she's just like, I panicked. What do you do? But it shows later that she's crazy on 700 other levels.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, it's terrible. It's heartbreaking. It's whatever. So don't be a shitty step-parent. I have
so
a couple.
So did she do it on purpose, basically?
It looks like she wanted the husband all to herself, and attention-hungry narcissist, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say, in all seriousness, violence against children by step-parents is a serious problem that occurs more often than in biologically related families. Lisa, one study found that 34% of children living with stepfathers reported physical abuse, compared to 17.6% of children living with their biological father. So that's all terrible, but I wanted to round out this story with a great step-parent that was really awesome. So this is all, it's an ugly segment of the show. It's never, well, every once in a while it's kind of funny, but there's some sad stuff. But if you guys remember the Fort Bragg murders, 1970, it was that guy that killed his pregnant wife and his two kids, very Chris Watsy, but he blamed it on hippies because it had happened shortly after the, Charles Manson, Helter Skelter, and they had written on the walls in blood, acid is groovy, pigs, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to blame the hippies because he's a psycho. Anyway, his wife's stepfather, a wonderful, wonderful man, raised her as his own and loved her very, very much. And he stood up for the son. He's like, I think that you're innocent. You should go on the Dick Cavett Show and have everybody try to look for the murderers. And so he got on the Dick Cavett Show. He's laughing, grinning, flirting with all the women in the audience. Hey, ladies, I'm single now, whatever. And the stepfather of Colette, the woman who was killed, was like, I'm going to nail this fucker. And so he spent the rest of his life proving that that man was guilty and put him in jail.
Nice.
So not all stepfathers, not all step-parents. Lisa, of course, is a wonderful step-parent and raised like her kids and biological probably to how many when she was a groupie. I mean, they're out there somewhere. But in any case, be a good step-parent. Yeah. True crime rule number 28.
No doubt.
Right on.
What you got, Leek?
That's good. So you guys, I have a confession to make.
Oh, you didn't do one this week.
No, I did. This is my confession. I think I love prairie dogs.
Me too. They're so cute.
They're so cute.
Fur like cinnamon.
And, oh my gosh. And, like, I, like, drive and they're on, because we live so far out in the middle of nowhere, and they're on the side of the road. Sometimes they're in the middle of the road, which really bothers me and stuff. But I, like, look, and they bend over, and they have little big butts.
I know.
Have you ever seen them bent over with their big butt in the air?
They're moving you.
Yeah, so like, cute. Hey, neighbor.
So I did some research just on prairie dogs, and I wanted to know what the difference between a prairie dog and a groundhog was.
Sure.
Word.
And it is, groundhogs butts. Are, yes, groundhogs are typically around 26 inches long and weigh up to 9 pounds.
Oh.
While prairie dogs trail behind at 16 inches and in length and weigh up to 3 pounds. So prairie dogs are smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And their fur is different.
And they don't see their shadow in February.
We don't know that for sure. That's never been tested. They're too short, so you don't know if they see their shadow. So then the other thing, like, every single time that I tell Daryl I think their prairie dog is cute, he tells me that they have the bubonic plague.
And I never say that.
Oh, you have said that many times.
Why would you lie on air? Daryl!
Yes. And so I looked it up, and what is my number one thing that I hate most in the whole world?
Rabies.
Dead birds.
No, I hate when Daryl is right.
Oh.
Because I looked up, is it safe to touch a prairie dog? Because I was thinking about possibly pulling over and telling them all to go away from the road.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Or, like, just
giving them little orange vests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or hats.
Yeah.
Or maybe making a little tiny fence.
Or, like, yeah, with caution tape.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently I shouldn't, because it says, like many rodents, prairie dogs can be infected and transmit disease agents to other animals, pets, and people. The most serious of these is the Selactic Plague caused by the bacteria Yersinia pestis. People and pets can get plague after being bitten by a rodent, fleas that carry the plague bacteria.
Well, so, Daryl wasn't that smart because he didn't say it.
He said bubonic, but that's close.
And you want to feed them blueberries, don't you?
I want to feed them anything. I want to have them as my pets, and I want to kiss them on their big butts.
Well, that's what, well, remember the other day when we were going to work, there was a little one right in the middle of the road, and I'm like, oh, God. And so I go, he ducked.
He went right under our car.
I drove right over him, and then he's all...
Gave
me the wave.
The other thing is that I wanted to also know what is currently threatening prairie dogs. Prairie dogs that are mostly threatened by human intolerance, disease, climate change, and habitat loss. Yeah. A lot of people are building on where they live.
Sure.
And yeah. Contact your state senator and representatives and governors in western states to let them know that you support prairie dogs and black-footed ferret recovery.
Nice.
I used to have a client who used to relocate prairie dogs.
Wow.
They would go in and you apparently put bubbles in their holes, and then they pop up, and then they would catch them and then bring them somewhere else where they weren't going to be
killed. I want that job.
Isn't that fun?
That's amazing.
But unless they bite you and give you the
blueberry
plague.
And the funny thing was, we went to her house. She was a very wealthy woman.
Yeah.
We went to her house. She had a wing in her house where she had two of them.
Oh, my gosh.
They had their whole wing.
That's and a life skill saving.
She had a veterinarian who came to her house because it's illegal to have a prairie dog.
Sure.
And so nobody knew, but this vet came and vaccinated him and everything. So they were like,
she was harboring fugitives.
She was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you remember, it was probably in the 90s, over by Stanley Lake, they were, I think, poisoning or gassing out prairie dogs some way because they had the big old holes and people were riding the horses over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the holes were breaking the horse's legs.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, what makes the horse more important than the prairie dog? Is it just size?
Exactly.
Can we figure this out somehow?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, they are really cute.
It's crazy what they do, how they relocate them sometimes, is they take water and bubbles.
I just said that.
You did.
I did.
Remember when we talked about listening as a life skill?
Yeah, life skills.
I was talking to your dog over here, old Pinky.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
let's end it on a not divorce note.
Because I'm like, wow, Daryl doesn't listen to me.
My hair is blonde.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, dude.
Thanks for another fun show, guys.
No, that was great. So
that was good.
Thanks for bringing your life skills to the table.
Yeah. You guys join Patreon if you haven't already.
We're not done yet. I still have to do my wow.
Speaking of not listening.
I looked at you guys like
I know. I wanted to start to make you mad.
I know. You guys are funny. Ha-ha. Funny, funny guys. Okay, well, you know, I do the music part of this, and we've been watching a lot of docs lately, and mainly music docs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's been in the air and everything, so Lisa, you know, got to do her Melissa Etheridge thing, this and that. So her new documentary came out last night, so we watched it, and it's called I'm Not Broken. A killer documentary.
It was.
She does a performance in an all-women's prison.
Wow.
She had done it before when she was a kid at the same prison. When she was like 12 years old, mm-hmm. she performed there, and she goes, you know, we always knew that Johnny Cash would go to different prisons. Uh-huh. She goes, so, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of like the Johnny Cash of, you know, women now. So she went and did it. But the cool thing was she had five different inmates that had written her letters
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And she took all the collaboration of reading those letters and stuff. Then she got to go meet these five women and decided, I'm going to write a song for them.
Aww.
So she wrote a song using inspiration from their letters and stuff. And she went and did the performance, had the five gals right front row stuff and performing. If you get a chance, watch it. If you don't know her music, it doesn't matter because most of the people that were in the prison didn't know her music either. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, and the ones you knew their music, you could see.
Yeah.
But just her, she strips down to nothing. I mean, she's like no makeup on, mm-hmm. nothing through mm-hmm. this whole thing. And just lets, you know, gives her heart to these five women and just, you know, takes their stories in and everything and writes a magnificent, beautiful song for them.
Yeah, it's on Paramount Plus.
I'm glad we let you finish, Daryl. That was really good.
Yeah. Perfect.
That was a good well of wisdom.
Good job.
Wow. All right, really, bye.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for coming. Join Patreon. It really helps us out a lot. So, because we have operating expenses, and then we get to create more content for you. If you do join the Patreon, you get to see the videos and the outtakes and, you know, join contests and prizes and stuff.
And it's don't really forget to go to Idaho Springs on the 27th and 28th to come see us at their festival that they're doing. We're going to be selling merch.
And are we going to try and redo our field trip?
Yeah, we will.
We got rained out for
the Rocky Mountain Arsenal.
We got rained out, but we did have a good time with Shannon. Thank goodness. Yeah. She came out, and I felt bad. I'm like, oh man. But I think she had a good time. We hung out. We had some grub and laughter, drinks and stuff. So
grub and laughter. That's the name of my
next band.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect.
So do all of those things for us, please. We would surely appreciate it. And after you're done with that, stay witchy, my friend.
Stay bitchy.
You got to pick up every stitch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch. Must be the season of the witch.